Joy of Business Radio, hosted by Joy of Business facilitators from around the world, with special shows from Simone Milicis, the founder and creator of Joy of Business. Are you bored or dissatisfied with your work or business? Joy of Business is an invitation to a completely new way of creating. Did you know your business and job can actually be fun and joyful? If what you are currently doing isn't working for you, listen into this show full of pragmatic tools from Access Consciousness, which change everything in business, from money to finance, staff, creativity, productivity, communication, and beyond. Joy of Business Radio, weekly on Om Times Radio.
Hello, everyone. Very welcome to the Joy of Business Radio Show. I am Katarina Nilsson. I'm a certified Joy of Business facilitator. I'm based in Sweden, and today I am so honored to talk to Lisa Murray. Our topic for today is monetizing your creativity. So both Lisa and myself, we are hugely creative, and we are entrepreneurs. And what can we play with today? I'm super curious. So a few words about Lisa. She's the founder of Creativity Lab. She has an MBA in entrepreneurship and leadership. She is an Access Consciousness certified facilitator. And she has a new book, Stop Waiting, Start Creating. Lisa, welcome. So
hi,
and lovely to have you.
Thanks, Katarina. I'm glad to be here. I wonder what magic we can create today.
Yes. So what about this topic, monetizing your creativity? What does that bring up for people when you talk to people?
Yeah, actually, you know, what I'm aware of is it brings up two things. And the first thing is that most people don't even think that they're creative. And so the idea of then, like, making money from what they don't think they are is almost like this mind twist, you know? Yeah, that's, like, the first thing I'm aware of when you ask that, so...
Yeah, and what would it take for us to actually see that everything we choose and everything we don't choose, basically, is creation, every moment of every day? So what if we can choose so much more than we are aware of, and where are we stopping ourselves? So I'm so curious to look at a few of these things and then link it to money. So that's what I feel is the natural way to start about creation, and then comes the money. So it's when it gets a little bit twisted when we start and make it all about the money to create, that's when it gets a little bit funky. Could you say something about that?
Yeah, so I think for a lot of people, they've been taught that they have to work hard. And my sense of it is, like with business or in a job, is that what if you would work creatively instead of working hard? Because they have very different energies. And literally this thing of, like work in itself can be a really joyful, pleasurable, you know, adventure, basically. You know, I had jobs for a long time before I had my business. And in those jobs, like the ones I loved the most were the ones where I could be creative, where it wasn't all linear and logical, where there was actually these possibilities for creating something that hadn't existed before. And so I never saw it as hard work because I was always in this space of like, oh, well, I wonder what's next and what could I create that no one else has created yet, you know. And when we look at it from that space, it's very different to, oh, I've just got to do all the things people say because that's how they say you should do it to get where I want to go. There's just two really different energies for me. And I always look at, well, what's the creative way to get there? What's the fun way to get there? Rather than what's the hardest way to get there? And what's the thing that's going to make me suffer the most?
I love that. And yeah, and I see a lot how expectations of from other people and of ourselves and our creations and projections also is something that creates a lot of a stopping energy for us. So maybe we can even run a clearing on the radio show. What do you say, Lisa?
All that.
Yay. So all projections and all expectations and all judgments that we have put on ourselves in creation And on our creations, can we uncreate and destroy all them?
Yeah.
Times to go silly and right, wrong, good, bad, pod, fuck, all nine shorts, boys and beyonds. And that is the Access Consciousness Clearing Statement. And if you are not familiar with it, you can read more about it at www.theclearingstatement.com. So that's one of the cool energetic tools that we play with in Access Consciousness. So if we don't have those projections and expectations of ourselves and of the result of what we are creating, what can we actually play with? So what you are mentioning is that work and creation can actually be fun. And that's when we have the energies that if we look at small kids, they just play. Oh, I play with the red thing. Oh, no, the red thing is boring. I play with the green thing, you know. So what would it take to have more of that energy in business, in creation, in everything we choose to do? So would that make a difference for many people? I think so.
Yeah, I get the sense it does. And, you know, one thing I'm aware of, like, you know, both you and I paint, we do art. Mm. And you know how, like, most artists never actually, like, they don't work only on one painting until it's finished and then start another one and only work on that one until it's finished, right? Like, most artists would actually have multiple sort of works in progress, yeah?
Yes.
And to me, the sense of creation of business or your job or whatever is a very similar thing in that, if you have multiple sort of projects in progress, then you won't get bored and you won't get stuck either, because there's always something you can move forward with. And I find this with writing as well, like all the different forms of creation. Literally, it's like, okay, so if I have enough projects going on, then I don't ever get to the place where it feels stuck and it feels boring, because there's always something new to play with.
Yeah, I love that. And sometimes, sometimes we are expected from other people around us. I remember at one workplace, they criticized me and they said, you need to write a list and you need to check off one bullet at a time and do things. Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And that never worked for me. And I judged myself very much because I couldn't create and work the way they did it. And that didn't work out very well. So that's also where we come into the space of judgment. When we judge ourselves, we judge our creations. And that's not the space of generation and creation at all. It's actually where we stop ourselves and we kill our creations, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's an interesting thing because you talk to someone who's really sort of planning focused, and the thing that they don't realize they're missing out on is that sort of chaotic element in the universe that actually allows the really random, not so random things to show up, that actually allow the speed of creation. Like, for me, what I saw is if I tried to do it the way other people did, like very linear, logical, you know, one thing at a time, then the speed of creation actually was the thing that made everything really boring, because it wasn't fast enough for me. And what I've noticed is that if you're willing to have that slight energy of chaos in everything that you do, and sometimes it's more than slight, then there's this creative capacity that gets speeded up that actually allows you to create far beyond what most people think is even possible. And that's what I love doing. That's what makes me really happy. And literally, I'm always like asking the universe for that random. And I know it's funny to call it random. It's really not quite the correct word, but it's more that chaotic element, that the wild card, actually, probably wild card is more the word I'm looking for, where literally there's this wild card energy or wild card piece of information that allows you to create far beyond. And that is then the creativity as well, because you get that piece of information or that, you know, that inspiration or whatever it is at the time, and all of a sudden a whole lot of other things are created that, you know, maybe even an hour ago you weren't even aware of. So I love that sort of inclusion of everything in the universe, rather than just that really sort of narrow linear focused energy that people think is wonderful, but yet it's a way of slowing everything down.
I love that. That's so much of the energy of jumping on when you perceive that energy of forward moving instead of making it hard and stopping. And when you go up to your head and you think and you try to figure out what the next step is, that's when it gets a little bit slower and harder for many people, right?
So, yeah, I think anytime you're figuring it out or you're trying to work it out, it's really like you'd have to ask yourself, well, where am I slowing myself down here? How am I slowing myself down? And what's actually possible beyond this?
Exactly. So sometimes when I talk to people in creative workshops in regard to painting, I tend to ask them, so imagine when or where you have a state of relaxation in your body. And sometimes people say that, well, kind of in the middle of the night or out in nature or when I'm swimming or something along those lines. So that's also so beautiful. So when we are in this state of relaxing, we can also receive more. We can receive the contribution you're talking about from the universe and from people around you. You can perceive the whispers and you can perceive the possibilities, the next steps in your creations. Just linking to what you said, that when we create and we have multiple creations at the time, each of those creations, be it a book or a painting or a business project, they are entities of their own, and they also have a consciousness of their own, which means that they can step up and take a bit of the responsibility as well, right? And you can ask questions. So, hey, book, or hey, painting, so what would you like? What is the next step here? And just be with it. So that's the creation from relaxation. I love that, and that really allows us to get things done with ease.
Yeah, it's the thing of having space, I think. Like, you know, with my paintings, because for probably the first year that I was painting, there was no intention to sell them. I was literally doing it to give me a space of creation that I didn't get from working on the computer. And I quite liked my paintings, and I was like, no, I'm not selling them. I'm going to keep them all. And, of course, as the pile got bigger and bigger, I was like, oh, maybe I might reconsider that now. And it's been really interesting because I've literally asked the paintings, well, how would you like to be sold in the world? How would you like to show up in the world? And it's been really amazing to me to see what's shown up. You know, like I've ended up putting them on a whole lot of products. I've had someone like ask me to literally make them a dress, like to get some fabric printers and make them a dress. And so all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I've ended up in the fashion business. That's interesting. And it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't a planned thing. It wasn't my intention. But as these things have come along, I've just looked at, well, would they be fun? Would it expand my life? Would it actually create something greater than what I've got now? And whenever there's a yes, I say yes to it. And it's been really fascinating to see where money can come from that I never would have imagined.
And that's beautiful. Being a yes woman, not a no woman. And that's so much the perspective of actually inviting the adventure and create your life and living as the adventure. And I can so much relate to that also. Oh, listen, we are going to have our first break segment. So let's talk more about adventures in a little while. Thank you so much, Lisa. Be back to you in a minute.
Thank you.
No one needs to have a money problem, especially you.
Yeah, did you hear that? You. You have an unlimited and mostly unaccessed capacity to create money and a financial reality that works for you. Simone Millicis has a brand new book. It's called Getting Out of Debt Joyfully. And right now, when you go to gettingoutofdebtjoyfully.com, if you pre-order the book, you'll get a free online course. What if you can create money in ways no one else can? Just go to gettingoutofdebtjoyfully.com to get your copy today.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. The cutting edge of conscious radio. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back. This is Joy of Business on OM Times Radio Show with Katarina Nilsson, Joy of Business Certified Facilitator, and Lisa Murray, Certified Facilitator of Access Consciousness, Entrepreneur, Artist, and Adventurer. So, before the break, we started to talk about the adventure of living and creation. And I believe that when we go for the energy of adventure and what's really fun and exciting for us, that creates something. And actually, when I started to paint, I did it for the fun of it. I was in a period of my life where I didn't have a lot of ease. So that was a way to actually do something that gave me so much energy and happiness and space. And I painted and painted. And as you say, I ended up having loads of paintings. And then I asked, so what could a next adventure be? An exhibition could be fun. And I never had created an exhibition. And I just jumped into it and found the energy of it being an adventure. And I created it without knowing how. And it ended up being a big success, and people came there. I had over 700 people, and they bought the paintings, and I did not expect that. And now it is a part of my business. So it's so beautiful when we actually invite revenue streams and different parts in our business from the space of that it's a gift and so fun and easy for us. And that's also when money can show up, right?
Absolutely. You know, and this is it's such an interesting thing. Like, for me, I've had lots of adventures over the years in all sorts of really different ways. And what I've noticed is if I tried to do it for the money, it mostly didn't work. But if I was doing it for the adventure and the fun of it and the curiosity of where it could lead, then it always took me somewhere that I wasn't expecting. And like, it's whether it be art or whether it be an event or whatever it is that you're creating, it's literally like, well, where can this lead and what's possible with it that I haven't even imagined? You know, I used to, when I first started my business, I used to write these emails to, like, there was about 30 people that I sort of roughly knew from different networking events and things. And I'd write them an email going, hey, I've got this idea for this adventure. Do you want to come and play with me? And literally I'd charge them like $30 each or something. And they would come, and for a few hours we would do whatever the adventure was that I had the idea of. And, you know, that really began the energy of my business and actually showed me really what energies I wanted to include in my business, because each event had different energies in it. And I would then just play with it and go, well, that bit was really cool. That bit wasn't so much fun. I think I'd like to try this next time. And this sort of curiosity leads us to so many different spaces that we wouldn't otherwise expect. And it's like, if you try and get a predictable outcome in your business, then you're going to work really, really hard. But if you're willing to actually see what's possible by what you create, then there's going to be a lot more ease in it. And actually the money is going to come a lot easier as well, because you're not focused on the money and you're not always looking at everything through the lens of, well, will this make money or not?
Yeah. And the energies of out creation, I'd like to mention as well, that a very generative question for me is to ask myself, so what energy can I be to outcreate myself today? And also be willing to outcreate other people around you, your friends, your family, all the people you know, and everyone you don't know, and see what that can create. And I am aware that it can bring up a lot of energies of judgment, for example, and also that we need to be willing to receive judgment as well, to have that ease and freedom of total creation and not limiting ourselves.
Yeah, there's an interesting thing with outcreation, because a lot of people say, well, what is outcreation? And to me, it's just creating beyond where you've been before. And so you're right. There is a lot of people who will judge you for that, because what you're doing is you're literally rattling the box that they are sitting in. They've got this nice little comfort zone, and you, just by being you and out creating what you've created before, it's like, you know, taking the lid off the box and saying, okay, time to come out now. Like, there's more available. And if they don't want the more that's available, then yeah, they will potentially give you a lot of judgment. So for me, I think the biggest thing with that that's been useful is to really look at the whole question of, well, is judgment even real? Because once I got to the idea that, oh, judgment's not real, and so they can have any point of view they want, but it doesn't make it real until I make it real. And then if I make it real, then I can change it, you know? And that changed a lot of things for me, because for a long time I was like, I didn't want to show up in the world. I liked being invisible, all that kind of stuff. And more as I've sort of explored, well, what's possible beyond that, it's been really interesting to see that if I didn't make the judgment real, then it just had no effect. And I could just continue creating whatever I was creating that was really fun for me.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So everyone who's listening, are you willing to receive judgment? And everywhere you are not willing to receive other people's judgment, are you willing to uncreate and destroy all that now? Thank you. Right, wrong, good, bad, pot, pock, all nine shorts, boys and beyonds. So what if there is no competition? So sometimes we are brought up to, and we believe that we're not good enough, and that's kind of the curse of mankind. And what if we actually are good enough? What if we are amazing, all of us? And as you said, Lisa, no one can create the way you do, and nobody else creates the way I do. So I'm convinced that there are people out there that are looking for exactly the energy you be in creation and what you provide and what you deliver in a way in this world. So I would encourage everyone to be the you in unique, you know, to turn you up and the way you create. And don't go into other people's worlds and universes and buy the points of view and the judgment. And I'd just like to say that we perceive a lot of judgment, and most of it is not ours, or all of it is not ours. And sometimes we think it's our judgment of ourselves, and we pick up other people's judgment, and it's not necessarily the judgment of us. It's the judgment of they themselves. And that's also what happens when we create more, and when we outcreate ourselves and go beyond where we have been before. People start to get uncomfortable because they look at their lives and their creations and they judge themselves.
Yeah, I had a really great example of this week, actually. So I did an interview about writing, and they were with people that I'd never met them, never really had anything to do with them. It was just one of those random requests. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do an interview for you. And the two ladies who were interviewing me found it, I think, beyond astonishing that you didn't have to suffer to be a writer. Because I was like, yeah, writing's really fun. You know, it's this really enjoyable thing that actually gives me more of me and allows me to be me when I'm writing. And I was talking about the playful, joyful aspects of it. And they're like, but what about deadlines? And I'm like, well, you know, deadlines are like a line inside a prison that you get shot if you cross it. I don't even think about deadlines. What I do look at is this space of creation and what's going to create the most if I actually finish the thing I'm working on. And what I noticed was that they literally didn't know what to do with me, because what I was saying was so far beyond their parameters. They actually, after the show, they said to me, you know, we've never had anyone on this show who didn't say you have to suffer and that you have to just, you know, use bum glue to get your book finished. I'm like, really? You know, because for me, it's like, why would you do that? And that this thing of, and they weren't judging me, but I could tell they were slightly confused in some ways. You know, there was a weirdness in their world. And it's like, what if you're willing to be that catalyst that actually creates that slight weirdness in someone's world and offers them a totally different possibility that's a lot more joyful and that actually could create a much more enjoyable world for all of us to live in.
Oh yeah, Definitely. And also this picture of not only the suffering artist, the very hard work it is to create a book or a piece of art or whatever, and also this idea of that the poor artist or the culture worker in a way. So if you're willing to receive money, you're no good. So that's crazy.
Well, you've sold out, haven't you? Like the judgment is that you've sold out. And, like, you know, you've gone commercial, and that technically, you know, you cannot be a real artist if you've done that. Yeah, it's a really twisted paradigm, isn't it?
Yeah. So what if we could choose another perspective? So what if we can create to make money and to create even more? So
yeah.
If we
can I run a clearing?
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
Yeah. So what have you made so vital, valuable, real, and valid about being the suffering creator, the starving artist, and the poor creative that stops you from being you, taking over the world, and creating beyond anyone you know's wildest dreams?
Mm-hmm.
And everything that is, would you uncreate and destroy it all, please?
Yes, ma'am.
Time to go to the end, right? Run good, bad, pod, puck, all nine shots, boys and beyond. Yeah, because what if you didn't have to be fit into any of those boxes? What if you didn't have to even consider that as part of what you're creating? What if you could literally go, what would I like to create? And start in that space. And actually, like, how much money would I like to receive? And start in that space.
Exactly. Okay, so we're taking a break and we come back. Is there break time?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so we'll be back with you. There is no break, right?
Wow, that was strange, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was strange. I think it was actually my computer that jumped on in some magical way.
Oh.
I apologize, guys, and how lucky are we to keep talking about this amazing topic. So where creation flows freely, that's really amazing. And also we can, yeah, if we can actually, now we are coming up to the
now
break.
We have a break.
This is so funny. Okay, guys, we will be back with you in a little minute. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Radio Namaste leads you down the yellow brick road into portals of consciousness with the blue collar goddess as your host. Interviews with humans who could be famous or just popular, and answers to everything are on the agenda. Tune into Om Times Radio and drop in on Thursdays at 3 Eastern. It's a different brand of enlightenment.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Putting the fun back in business. Wake up, go to work, come home, watch TV, go to bed, repeat. Business, work, your job, hate it, bored, want to leave it? Or business, work, your job, fun, play, joy, fun. Which would you like to choose? You may not know this, but business, your job, work can actually be fun. Check up your business routine. Check out my 3-part free video series on putting the fun back in business. Go to accessjoybusiness.com/fun and put the fun back in business.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back.
This is Joy of Business on Ohm Times Radio with Katarina Nilsson and Lisa Marie. And we are talking about the starving but true artist. Right, Lisa? So
yeah.
We don't have to buy into that. So since the beginning of time, we have been learned that money is ugly and you shouldn't be allowed near fine art. And what if that's not true? And what if we could look at it as from another point of view? If money could actually be a tool to explore and create even further where you haven't been before? And what if you and your creations are a great gift to the world?
Yeah, you know, this is really interesting. I was just thinking about, like, you know, some of the artists that have made the greatest impact have also been really willing to receive money for their art. Like, if you look at some of the great photographers, you know, some of the people who are featured in the really big galleries in the world, like, it's really one of those things where if we didn't actually put any separation between money and creativity, I wonder what would be possible. Like, because a lot of people, it's like they're two completely different things, two completely different energies. Whereas for me, it's like, well, what if they were just so, like, playing together that there really is just total choice? And, like, you wouldn't do something for the money. Like, oh, where am I going with this? It's like you would... The money is not the point of, is not the issue, and yet the allowing of money, it's not having the refusal of money. Because what I see a lot with people is they're like, oh, I've got these ideas and I really love creating them, but the moment I have to ask for money, you know, all the energy goes off it, all the joy goes out of it. And it's like, well, what if, you know, if you go to the shop and you buy paint and you're asking about the paint, what if asking for money is no different to the energy of asking about the paint and how it works? Because I think it's really interesting that people sort of put so much significance on asking for the money when it doesn't have to be that way. And literally, how much more easily could money come to you if you're willing just to have it be a part of your creativity, a part of your creation every day, without making it this really significant thing?
Yeah, and an honoring as well. So I go to the conversation around value. So do people value more the things they get for free or the things that they pay for? And the other thing is also to, we can actually ask our creations, okay, so painting or book, what would you like to do? Would you like to be sold to start with? And if that is so, how much would you like to be sold for? And have this awareness of, and then we put it a little bit outside of ourselves as well. So it's not our value, me as a being or a person or an artist. It's actually the value of one separate product. And if someone rejects or doesn't want to buy that product or believes it's too expensive or whatever, it's their point of view about that piece. And that's okay. It has nothing to do with me as a person.
Yeah, that thing of depersonalizing it, Katarina, is really important. You know, because I couldn't have sold any of my paintings if I was going to take it personally, if people liked them or not. Or, you know, I couldn't have put my book out in the world if I was going to take it personally, if people enjoyed reading it or not. You know, and people, like, it's really funny. When you put a creation into the world, people have this kind of strange thing in their world where they think they can say anything to you as if you're a robot and you won't even have any sense of, you know, it's like they can say the most rudest things and they just think it's fine because, well, they can. And what I've learned with, like, with being a creative person and being a creator of a lot of different things now is that I literally have to not even think about other people's points of view with it and not think about their points of view of how much they want to pay or how much they think it's worth. Because so often we get really tapped into that energy of, oh, well, what if people don't value it like I do? Or what if, you know, they don't want to pay that much? Or what if they don't have the money? And literally none of those points of view are actually relevant to what price you're going to put on something. It's really interesting to start to look at it and start to go, well, if you weren't in everyone else's head, if you weren't aware of everything they were thinking, what price would this like to be sold for, you know? And
I'm going to do a telecall in a few weeks on resonant pricing, because I think there's so much involved in the choosing of price and then the being the energies that actually allow people to pay that price. You know, I put up all my rates by quite a lot when I did my new website. And what I've noticed is there's a totally different energy around saying the prices to people and actually the people paying them. And it's actually become much easier, which was really interesting to me because I expected it might have a bit of clunkiness to it in the beginning. And yet it hasn't. It's been this really fun thing to go, oh, that's my price. If you like it, sign up here. And, you know, it's people are just saying yes really easily. So I wonder how much we are the only sort of limitation and blockage when it comes to the money and the pricing. And if we were just to allow people to choose what's actually going to work for them with no desperation, no neediness, no sort of point of view that, oh, my gosh, it has to be a certain way, I wonder what that would actually create in terms of having more money.
That's really light when you say it. And also honoring of you and honoring of your creations and honoring of the other person as well. So we can just look at, there are so many stories around houses that didn't get sold, and when someone else got in there and actually rose the price, that's when the house got sold, for example. So sometimes when something doesn't work out, we kind of immediately go to, oh, the price is too high, I need to lower my price. No. What if it's just the other way around? So just tapping into that and asking questions, I think that's really useful for so many of us. And to get that kind of stress and pressure away from pricing. So have it more and play with it a little bit more. I love what you said about the well-paid artists around the world. And I also believe that they are open to receive money and also totally open to receive judgment. So what would it also change for all of us if we open up to receive even more judgment, as you say, for your book, Lisa, that people think they can say anything? Since you have put a book out there in the world, you can also receive anything. But if we are open to actually turn the weird up and turn ourselves up, that would be, it actually makes me smile. So that's kind of fun for me.
Well, you know, what's interesting is the less point of view I have had about how strange I am and how different I am and how odd I am, the more I've just got, well, that's just how I am. The less people actually make it weird. Like, I did a talk at an event last week, and it was maybe about 15 people, and I ended up talking a lot about following the energy, just because, I mean, I was just literally tapping into their worlds and saying, well, what do I need to talk about? And they were so delighted and so grateful that I had talked about it in the way I did, that it was so different from what they'd heard before. Mm-hmm. And what was really fascinating for me was that because I had this moment where I'm like, well, do I filter myself? Do I actually dumb it down? Do I say it in a more normal way, you know, according to this reality? But my sense was no, to tell them the weird stuff. And what was really funny is at the end of the talk, like, I sort of finished the official talk, and then they were asking me some questions. And I was like, well, if you really want to do the really weird stuff, and I started telling them some other things, and they were just like, oh, yeah, that's the really good stuff, you know. And so we cannot assume that any audience is, that it's going to be too weird, too different for any audience, because there is always people who are desiring to know about what you know and what you have, what you create and what you are aware of that maybe isn't so common in the world. And if you don't judge it, then they probably won't either. And if they do, then literally it's like, oh, it's just a choice. They're judging it. Okay, cool. What's next? Who's next? Where else can I go? You know?
Oh, that's amazing. So in The Joy of Business, we talk about that money follows joy and joy doesn't follow money. So a very relevant question could be, so why don't we just do more of what we love? If we feel no joy in what we create, then why do we even bother doing it? So what is it that is stopping people from your experience, Lisa?
Choice.
We just don't choose, do we?
No. Well, most people actually will put everything that they think they should do or they have to do or that it's necessary to do, they will put all of those things ahead of the joy and the play. You know, like I had a really busy day today. Like, I think you're my third, well, you're my second interview, and I ran a call this morning, and there's been lots of other stuff in between. And literally, at one point, I had to take a friend of mine to the police station to, you know, file some stuff against someone that had, you know, there's been a situation. And as we were doing it, like, they gave us all these forms to fill out. And I said, well, we could just go to the beach and fill those out, because we didn't have to be at the police station to fill them out. So we literally went to the beach, had a swim, lay on the beach, filled out all the forms, and then took them to the courthouse. And this is the thing where people get really stuck in this place of, I have to do all this stuff, but they won't actually include the joy and the pleasure just as part of the day. And it was really easy for us to do that. And the policeman was laughing at us. He was like, yeah, that's the idea, girls. Off you go. Go to the beach, you know. And you could tell he wished he could, you know. And what I see so much of the time is that we almost refuse ourselves pleasure, rather than going, well, what if that actually creates, you know? And for my body particularly, I was just so grateful to get in the water and just lie on the sand for a bit, you know, and have that little bit of a break. And when you do that, it actually then creates more space for the creativity, for the money to come, you know. And if you actually start to set your business up so that the money can come from things other than your direct work, and what I'm talking about is, you know, having income streams that literally you can get paid for when you're not at your desk or your computer or whatever it is. Now, you know, I made quite a lot of money today, and it was really easy because I was just, you know, checking on things as I came in and out and responding to people as I needed to, and money was coming in. And so often we make it much harder than it needs to be. Yeah. And if there's one thing that I would have changed in my business early on, probably for the first 2 or 3 years, it would have been to add a lot more revenue streams a lot earlier. Because what I see now is, wow, having a good variety of revenue streams really enables money to come with a lot more ease.
That is amazing, with the different revenue streams. And yeah, and I've been looking at that recently as well. So what could be revenue streams? So if you go to your artwork, for example, you already mentioned that, oh, of course, you can sell paintings, and you put your paintings onto products, and also on dresses, right?
So yeah, okay. Yeah,
we're going to have a little break again, and let's talk more about revenue streams and
cool
and creating money and business. Thank you.
Yeah.
What do you hate about business? And do you want to change it? If you don't want to change anything about your job or business, stop listening. You're all good. If you'd like to have money just for the fun of it and stop the negative self-talk, check out Joy of Business. This is about knowing what you know about business and creating more than you can imagine. Access Joy of Business 101 classes offered around the world. Go to accessjoyofbusiness.com/101.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business. Join Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, each Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern for the Elliot Jolish Hour, as he interviews business experts on your behalf. And you're invited to email your business questions to questions@ecjgroup.com for answers, live, on air, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Elliot Jolish Hour. Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Welcome back. This is Om Times Radio, Joy of Business, with Lisa Marie and Katarina Nilsson. So revenue streams and adding more revenue streams. I love that. You talked about your art, and I have an example of, as well, that something that can show up that I did not expect. I had a company contacting me, and they asked to use one of my paintings in their logotype. So that was something completely different, and I was like, oh yeah, that would be fun, and how can we set that business deal up? So when we are open to receive money in from all different directions and from all different people, it can show up, and also say yes to that and just create it. So that was pretty fun, and how many more revenue streams can we add in terms of, you just mentioned, well, you're putting up this beautiful call on resonance on pricing, for example. That could be one revenue stream, and so your separate different calls, for example, or different products. Depends on how you look at it. In my business, I run a naming agency, so is my naming agency one revenue stream, or is it every service I provide and coaching and stuff in the naming agency? So
yeah,
just opening up for people to actually look at their lives and their businesses and see, how does it look for me, and what's my reality with revenue streams, and what can I add?
Yeah, I think what can I add is one of my favorite questions ever, you know, because it's like there's always something else that's really fun to play with. And, you know, what's really interesting to me too is sometimes revenue streams come from really unexpected places. Like, you know, a couple of months ago, I was having a conversation with someone, and we've been running like co-creation days here, where literally people just come and hang out and create together. And it's been really fun. And we were at this cafe a couple of months ago, and a couple of us were talking, and we were like looking at a situation and going, well, what could we contribute to that to change it? And we came up with the idea of doing this free telecall about outcreating narcissists. Now, that is not a topic I ever would have thought I would add to my business. And yet, we did that free telecall. Over 2,000 people listened to it. And then we looked at the energy of, well, what would it be like if we actually created, you know, some real calls for it? And we did that as well. And so, in essence, money came from the desire to contribute to a couple of people that we knew that were in difficult situations. So what if you never actually looked at revenue streams as this thing that has to be this perfect fit with your business? Because when I looked at that, I was like, I had no intention of ever talking about that topic. And Corey Michelle, who I did that with, she had no intention of ever talking about that topic publicly. But all of a sudden, there was this energy there. And this is the thing, I think, of following the energy and actually allowing the universe to show you what's possible. Because so often we try really hard to work out what our revenue stream should be. And, you know, people talk about all the niching and all that kind of stuff. But what if actually the universe is just going to show you exactly what revenue streams you could have really effortlessly? And if you were willing to just follow that and say yes, as we talked about earlier, then I wonder what that would create. And, you know, we're looking at other possible revenue streams following on even from that. And it's like, what is there that's available that you haven't even looked at yet, that you've been refusing to see because it didn't fit your definitions of what you thought your business was? That one, you know?
I love that.
So, yeah, and actually, let's just go, everything that brings up and everything you're not willing to see, would you uncreate and destroy it all, please?
Yes.
Times a gazillion, right and wrong, good and bad, pod and pockle, nine shorts, boys and beyond.
No.
Yeah, have you ever had any... Yeah, go
what
on.
Say? There you go.
I was just going to say, have you ever had any, like, surprises in your business where you found yourself doing something that you were like, what? How did I end up doing this?
Oh, yes. And actually, the first few years in my business, I did not allow surprises. Because I went, I functioned a lot from order and from control. So not until I decided to let go of that, I could actually allow myself to have art showing up in my life and also showing up as revenue streams, or accept the class and coach business in the way I do and traveling the world the way I do. So I had so many preconceived, like an image of what I should or should not do or be, being a consultant, having this offering. And actually, people, companies, they approach me and they ask me to give them more, to deliver more. And I said no, because I had this limited box in my head. This is my offering. I don't do anything more. And they believed in me and they wanted me to contribute more. And I said no. So I'm very grateful to actually approach all of this in a completely different way nowadays. And if we could just share a few tools, really easy tools for people to play with to receive more money and receive more possibilities, I would start off with do something you love. And really, as you said, the energies of what is really nurturing and fun for you and for your body, like take your work out in the sun, to the beach, for example, as you said. So what is it that's really fun and that when you have this sense of flow when you do it, can you include that a little bit more in your life just to see what it creates and what it opens up for? So that's one tip. Do you have any other tips?
Yeah, actually, when you said the word flow, Katerina, I was like, oh, yeah, flow. And because I used to talk about this a lot, and it's funny how you forget about things for a while. You know, they're a big theme and then they just kind of disappear. But the thing with flow for me is moving from project to project to project really easily and not making it that you should do it a certain way. Because what I've noticed for me is that if I just like keep all of the projects moving in whatever way they can be moving, then literally everything shows up with a lot more ease. And it's like money comes from sort of random sideways places when that flow is there, because you're so in the flow that you're actually not stopping the flow of the money either. You're literally allowing the money to show up from wherever it can. Whereas if you sort of stop yourself from being in the flow by deciding you're going to do it in a more logical way or whatever, then that actually also stops your money flows. And so for me, like that flow state is really a natural part of how I create every day. Like I don't really even think about it anymore, but it is very much a part of my creative process. And I know when it's not there, like, you know, when things get a bit clunky and you're looking for, okay, you know, what's going on here? It's like, okay, so for me, the first thing I do is look for, well, what is going to give me that energy of flow? What's actually going to give me that, just skipping from project to project in a really joyful way, what's going to give me that energy? And I will start with the thing that's the most fun. You know, most people start with the thing that's the least fun so they can get out of the way. And I have this point of view that if I start with the thing that's the most fun, that it will lead me joyfully into the thing that's not as fun, and there'll actually be a more fun way to create that thing. And it's often happens for me, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's also the energy of always keep creating and never go into waiting, not waiting for anyone or anything, and not going into judgment of ourselves or our creation. So directly when we sense that judgment energy, it go and see, okay, so how can I change this? What's required right now to have flow again or ease or enjoyment or relaxation, to change that fast and speedily and to get into creation again?
Yeah, indeed.
Lisa, I just wanted to share with people that if they would like to connect with you and all your creations and classes and stuff upcoming, they can reach you at creativitylab.tv. Is that correct?
Yes, they can.
Yes. Would you like to mention a little bit about what you have upcoming?
Ooh, what do I have upcoming? Well, actually, I'm thinking by the time this goes to air, my income stream creations. Yes, exactly. I was just thinking income stream creation intensive will actually be over by the time this goes to air, but we will run it again later in the year. So if you're interested in that, keep an eye out for it. And then resonant pricing is coming up. And yeah, it's a really good question. I'm going to run some writing retreats this year as well. So if you're interested in that, pop onto the website and just, you know, send me a note and let me know. Because there's lots of things on my website, like, that are already there and available. Like if you want to unhide you, I did a telecall series a while back that was amazing for just getting to all of those energies where you're not willing to be visible in the world. So there's all sorts of adventures on the website, and I would just invite you to go check them out and see what actually can change for you.
That's amazing. And I actually have a few classes on money coming up, so I will facilitate the How to Become Money workbook. We start in March, the 13th. It will be five calls. And a specialty class with Enjoy a Business called Creating Your Own Financial Reality. That's also via Zoominars worldwide. So it's the 15th and the 22nd of March. And then the Advanced How to Become Money workbook, we start 27th of March. And then Access Business 101 and 102 in Napa Valley with Heather Nichols in June. So come and play. And I'm also curious. Mm-hmm. I'm a co-author in a book called Creating Business Beyond This Reality that we'll launch soon. And the chapter I'm contributing with has the title of Monetizing Your Creativity. So keep an eye out for that. So I'm not sure how many minutes we have left, but I would like to just ask you, Lisa. So if you look back on how you created and how your money flows were before applying all these amazing tools, do you have any reflections or what has changed for you?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things for me was when I realized that if I stopped judging myself, money would come to me. Because literally I used to judge myself for being bad with money because that was what was projected at me. But it literally is a case of what if your wrongness is your strongness. And so for me, I literally remember the day that I went, okay, I am not going to judge myself for money stuff anymore. I'm going to literally actually be present with the strongness that I have with it. And when I started to do that, my entire money reality changed. And so I'm very grateful for the awareness of that. And it actually came at a 7-day class. And it was just one of those things where you're just like, oh, wow, I'm just so happy that I've got to this. So being grateful for everything I'm creating and everything I'm choosing and allowing things to keep expanding through that gratitude is a really big part of my daily creation.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That is beautiful. Thank you so much for all the awareness and all the amazing tips here and also the inspiration to hear when people choose beyond what maybe I have thought was possible for me. That's so inspiring and valuable for me. So I hope it has been for everyone of you listening, and go out there and create. Thank you so much, everyone. This is Katrina Yasmin Samari. Bye.